Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We're back again. We skipped a week, but we're back on the kitchen table and we're going to talk about ham radio. So let's get
We're not like
started.
On the kitchen table though.
I mean like we're sitting around it.
Yeah, around. It'd be really weird if we were on it.
Hey everybody, we're back again and just wanted to give kind of a shout out. Check us out on Patreon and hit us up on our Apple podcast area or wherever you're podcasting and drop a review. Leia loves it when you leave a comment. So if you want to send a comment.
I love reviews.
I love reviews too. But hey, also, I don't know if it's going to be ready in the time that we drop the podcast, but we've got a merch store coming. If it happens to be out when I drop this, then there will be a link in the show notes. So check that out. Leia has become the merch queen. She's created a website that I think is fantastic. You did a really good job. There's all kinds of little Easter eggs in there, fun stuff that you've added.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of things that I assume people won't read. So
right.
I just made it to be entertaining to myself.
You know, but they're tucked in there. There's a little bit of snarkiness, a little bit of sass. So it's good. I thought it was. I had.
I don't know another way to be, honestly.
So today, I don't have any reviews to read.
Do you remember Ed DeBevick's?
Yes.
So it's a restaurant in LA where you would go there to be treated poorly.
It's like a 50s diner.
Yes.
And all the waitresses have like name tags that say Flo or, you know, Beehive.
Oh, dudes. So you've been?
I've been.
Okay.
I said yes, right? Didn't I say yes?
Yeah, I thought you just heard of it.
No, I've been. Yeah, and when you ask for, they don't give you straws. And when you ask for a straw, they throw like 30 of them at you.
Yes,
and they'll come to the table with a tray of cups, but they're all empty, and they'll dump it on everybody. So what we're talking about today is getting started in ham radio. And I felt the best way to do that was kind of talk about my kind of process or what I went through. My history of it, and I want your comments on it as I break some of this stuff down. So I got my license back in 2007, my technician license. And remember,
was this before or after we met? When did we meet?
Close to the same time. Feels like.
It feels like this is something you hid from me. 2008. Is this something you just went off and did, and you didn't mention it to me at all?
2008 probably is when we met each other. Right. No,
we got married in 2008.
We got married in 2008. So, no, yeah, then I did. I just went off and did it. I just went off and
just
took the test.
Just didn't even mention it.
No,
this is like the unicycle thing.
No, it's not like the unicycle thing.
All these little things that you were interested in and you never told me.
I just do things, man. I get a bee in my bonnet and I just go for it. So remember I mentioned technician class, general, and extra, right? The three levels of ham radio.
I'm familiar, yes.
Because of our stickers and our logos and stuff, right?
Well, so, also because I'm studying.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Something about more bands than all the bands.
Right. So technician is like the least amount of bands.
Right. It's just enough to make it legal.
It's barely legal, right? So I have two radios on the table, and they're like the bookends of handy talkies. Right, so there's the ubiquitous Baofeng and the Yaesu FT3DR.
Okay.
So these are kind of what you use.
What is this thing on the bottom of your
Baofeng? It's an extendo battery. So when you get your technician, you get kind of full access rights to use the 2 meter and the 70 centimeter bands.
So everything on the handy talkie?
Everything on the handy talkie.
Except for the Baofeng because it goes off and resonates into other bands.
It can technically operate in the
legal
space.
See, I know things now.
Yes. you also get access to 6 meters.
Okay.
And there's a couple other of the high frequency bands, right? So the thing to remember with high frequency is that it's all line of sight, meaning you can talk from one handy talkie to another handy talkie.
Is 2 meters and 6 meters a measure of the length, the wavelength?
Yes. It's a physical representation of the radio wave, one oscillation of the radio wave. So
the height or the?
The width.
The width.
The wavelength.
Okay.
2 meters, 70 centimeters, 6 meters, and you get parts of 10 meters. And 10 meters is like the kind of dipping your feet into HF, high frequency, right?
Okay.
And then general, that's when you get access to all the high frequency bands. That's when you get access to like 20 meters, which is like my favorite band, and 40 meters, which is
what
like,
makes one band better than another.
So the handy talkies, right, we set our line of sight, meaning, you know, between these two handy talkies, you can maybe get a mile out of them. If it was a totally flat, straight shot,
okay,
you can get a couple more miles.
All right.
HF, however, it uses the ionosphere to bounce the radio waves against the ionosphere, right? So it gives you beyond line of sight capability. So going around our round Earth, right, if you can shoot an RF, if you can shoot your RF at the ionosphere and it hits at an angle and comes down, you're going to come down on a radio station that's listening like on the other side of the Earth, further than you can see. So it's called beyond line of sight.
Okay.
So technicians, right, they start out with handy talkies, and they can get into HF, but it's not really the class for that. So how I started was I went to Ham Radio Outlet after I got my license. I was Billy
Bob
was there.
Spent all your money.
Just gave them my wallet. Billy Bob was there, right? So I got introduced to Billy Bob.
Is that the guy who wears the Hawaiian shirts?
Well, they all wear Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But yes and. And he put me on a Yaesu FT-60 handy talkie, which is a, you know.
Because they don't sell Baofengs?
This was before Baofengs. This is before Baofengs ever existed, right?
Would you have started with a Baofeng?
I don't know, because they don't sell Baofengs. They sell Chinese radios.
You don't know, because you are somebody who doesn't just dip their toes in anything. Mm-hmm. You get into something and you're like,
I go head first, arms in my side, just head first.
Like everybody who knows what they're talking about really wants.
No, I never did that. So I don't really do that. I buy something that is like good quality, highly rated, but not like top of the line. So the Yaesu at the time I bought it was like $200. Mm-hmm. Now it goes for like $160.
So right. This is depreciating. You well, literally,
it's an older radio.
You could have bought a purse, yeah, and it would have appreciated.
Does the purse operate on 2 meters and 70 centimeters? Anyway, so I started out just kind of like everybody else does. I bought a handy talkie, and I was like, "Hey, this is great!" And so I would talk on the repeaters all around us, and you know, I mentioned repeaters are the.
When was this happening?
Well, we're getting to that. So I had the radio, though. I would talk on the radio. Like
we were together all the time. How do I not remember you talking on a radio? Like, what did I think you were doing?
I don't know. Because, I mean, this was back when cell phones were still kind of weird, right? You wouldn't have mistaked a cell phone with a radio. They were not the same.
Cell phones were not weird in 2007. Do you have your decades mixed up?
No. 2007, that was when I got, like, the hip top thing, the Sidekick.
Is it that long ago?
I mean, I think I might have had my first iPhone in 2007, but when we started dating, I had like the Sidekick and stuff, remember? Anyway. Okay. So what I did next was I was like, I've got this radio. I want to put a bigger antenna on it. So I put that antenna mount on the S2000. And okay. I used to run the antenna off the S2000, and I used to screw the antenna jack into the car using the coax cable, and I had a hand mic that would clip into the side of it, and that's how I used to talk to, like, Catalina Island.
It's like you had a second life.
I know, you're just finding
my mind is blown right now.
And that was I'm kind of telling this story to explain what I recommend people now. Why I recommend people to do the things they do now when they get into radio.
Okay.
I'm still down with getting handy talkies. Yeah, sure, of course. You've got to have one at least, right? And maybe more. Generally more, I would say. You probably get two. But my first epiphany that I picked up when I was kind of just still a technician was mobile radios are kind of like where it's at. Mobile radios kind of give you a really well-rounded VHF, UHF technician level experience with radio.
Okay.
Do you know what mobile radios are?
They go in your car?
Right. But what specifically about them is kind of different from a handy talkie?
I don't know. The way the wires are run and the antennas are run? I have no idea.
Well, that's true. Yes. Yeah. The radio that's in your car. your truck is a mobile radio.
Yes. Right?
It's got that little head unit that kind of looks like a car radio almost. It's sitting on the dashboard.
Right.
Or, you know, taped to the dashboard.
Except for it's just a bunch of people and static instead of music.
Right. And the body of the radio is kind of like a chunky boy. It looks like something that it actually kind of looks like a car radio. Same dimensions.
Right? Yeah.
Like that. And it's up underneath the dashboard somewhere. The difference, though, and the reason why I brought these little handy talkies out, this is a 5-watt output radio.
Okay.
When you key up and you transmit, it's putting out 5 watts of power out the antenna, or most of it. There's some technical details that we're not going to get into, but the mobile radios put out 50 watts.
Wow.
And they use a proper antenna length for the bands that they operate on.
Huh.
So generally, we said 2 meters, right? 2 meters is the physical representation of the radio wave.
Yeah.
When you have a vertical antenna, like an HT, or like, you know, the big antenna on my car, right?
Yeah.
That is supposed to be 1/4 wavelength in length for the band that you're operating on.
Okay.
So if the physical size of the radio wave is 2 meters.
Okay.
Then the antenna's vertical length needs to be 1/4 of that size. And there's mathematical equations.
So the longer the antenna, the more bands you're accessing?
Kind of. You need to be exactly 1/4 wavelength for the frequency that you want to operate on. And if you go too long, the resonance of the radio drops. If you go too short, the resonance drops.
What is resonance?
So resonance is the point where when you key up the radio, all the power is able to get into the antenna and radiate out.
Okay.
If it's not at that resonance point, which is a dip, right? Like if you look at the graph, it'd be a dip. If you're not at the bottom of that valley, as you start to go up the sides, higher or lower, shorter or longer, the SWR, which stands for standing wave ratio, starts to go up and less of the power is radiated out of the antenna. And actually it comes back down the antenna and into the radio and becomes heat or has
you
to
could
be
kill your radio with the wrong length antenna.
Correct. Yes.
Based on the band you're operating on.
Exactly. And how much power you're putting out.
What?
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
Yeah. So that's why it's way more complicated than this. We're really going at a high
level
here.
You could turn your radio into like a firebomb.
Not really. You just let the smoke out of it. It'll find a weak point in the electronics and burn that component out, and then the radio dies, and you have to go in and fix that component, whatever. However,
that's a nice way to do this message will self-destruct.
Right. However, regardless of all of that, when you key up this radio, it's putting out 5 watts of radiation, electromagnetic radiation, and it can burn you if you like hold on to an antenna.
Is ham radio giving you cancer?
No, it's non-ionizing. Don't be like that. Don't be a Karen. So going back to what I was saying, right?
Is it giving me cancer?
No. There's and once you get your technician class license, you'll know that there are things you can do.
I don't know. I read some things about 5G that are very concerning.
I'm shook. Depending on where you are away from the radiating antenna, you'll get less absorption of that radiation. So 50 watts antenna, pretty powerful or more powerful for that radio. That's why it's on the side of the car and you sit inside the car. The car's body is kind of acting like a Faraday cage and protects you from that radiation.
Huh. So
also, 2 meters isn't that, can't get that bad for you. The 70 centimeters, though, that you can get some skin burns and stuff like that if you're putting out a lot of power. And if you have like a focused antenna, like a Yagi, like we've talked about,
one
that's like a beam, that's like a cone of RF that you could just blast something with. Now,
what?
I'm being a little extreme. RF burn is really just like a sunburn. That's what it's like.
Oh, I'm imagining lasers coming off antennas now.
Yeah, I know. I saw that in your face, and I knew I got to walk this back.
You got to walk it back like the Who on everything they've ever said.
Yeah. I thought the band when you said the Who. I'm like, what did the Who do?
The World Health Organization. Every time they announce something major, they're like, whoopsie.
Maybe the Who's motto should change to won't get fooled again. the actual Who, the medical Who. That would be good. Going back to how I did this whole thing, right? So I bought that FT60 radio, and I had the vertical antenna on my car. And I was only putting out 5 watts of power.
Okay.
For the longest time. And it was fine. It was acceptable. But then much later, as I got, you know, more cars, as we collectively bought our cars and I started putting mobile radios in it, I realized how much more effective the 50 watts of power can be, right?
Okay.
For instance, I have a automobile mobile radio kind of in my ham shack. It's one of the radios I use for 2 meters and 70 centimeters.
Okay.
With the antenna that's on our roof, the tall one, the 17 footer. Now, some of that's the antenna. The antenna plays a large part of that. I was able to have a direct two-way conversation with somebody down in San Diego.
Wow.
And going back to what we said about handy talkies, right? Only about a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, big improvement by adding the 50 watts of power, getting a better antenna. So, if you look at this, like with the handy talkies, short little stubby antennas, still 2 meters, 70 centimeters.
So, you're matching your power output to your antenna?
No, the frequency that you're transmitting on has to match the antenna. At the same time, the antenna can't be a little whippy thing and you cram hundreds of watts through it because you'll melt the antenna.
Right? Okay.
You get the idea. So it's like a gradual step up. This puts out 2 watts, has a tiny little stubby, or I'm sorry, 5 watts.
So wait, then how does the step IR work? Because like the spider web on the roof, that makes sense. There's different lengths on each step of the web.
Right. So each, so if you think about it as an upside down umbrella and there's horizontal wires. And so the obviously the bottom of that antenna, really short wire.
Right.
The shortest wires at the bottom is for 6 meters.
Okay.
Then the next one up is for 10 meters.
Right.
The next one up is for 15 meters.
Right.
And then 20 and then 40s at the top.
Right.
40 meters. And remember, I kind of flipped the page on you a little bit. Vertical antennas are vertically 1/4 wavelength.
Okay.
Technically, the hex beam on the roof is called a dipole. This is a term you've probably heard, but I haven't totally explained it.
Yeah.
You know what coax wire looks like, right?
Yes.
There's a pin in the middle, and then there's metal shielding on the outside.
Yeah, I saw the TikTok.
Okay. So a dipole antenna is just taking those two elements, the shielding, call it the negative side, the return side of a circuit, and the center pin is the positive side.
Okay.
And just making those freely in the air and separated 1/4 wavelength on each side of the leg for whatever frequency you're on.
Huh.
Same principle. 1/4 vertical, right? The other quarter is in the radio and your body holding it. On a dipole, it's 1/4 is the positive side and 1/4 is the negative side.
Interesting.
The hex beam is really just a dipole. All these antennas are really just a dipole if you break it down. Enough if you break it down really
far. So tell me again what the step IR looks like.
The step IR is a three-element Yagi. So it's got a it's the type with the boom, the horizontal boom, and then perpendicular rods. Three perpendicular rods.
Okay.
How that works, and it's kind of high-tech-ish, but what frequency you set the radio to, the box that goes with the antenna says, oh, he's on 14.225 megahertz.
Okay.
The box tells the devices in the antenna to, and it's inside the tubes. You don't see this.
Okay.
Lengthen or shorten the metal material with its reel system.
Wow.
So you have perfect so going back to that SWR curve, the dip, it will adjust until it finds the perfect dip for whatever frequency you're on.
That is mind-blowingly smart.
Very smart. Very expensive, very smart. What's the triangle? You can have it good, fast, or cheap, and you can only pick two.
Yeah. Right,
so I got it fast, came quick. And it's really good. So there you go. All right. But going back to getting started with radio. So we got you to mobile radio, right? So you whip your little antenna, and then you got a little bit bigger antenna, but much better performing antenna on your car or on your house. And then you could put something up like I have for, it's like 17 feet for 2 meters and 70 centimeters.
Okay.
Now that
and antenna, that's the wire that I keep.
No, that's the vertical, the white pipe that sticks up.
Okay.
That antenna is like $100. Right, okay. You couple that with a mobile radio, and I was able to make a two-way.
Is that the one that a lot of people homebrew?
Yeah, for sure. All the 2 meter, 70 centimeter stuff, the stuff that you get access to as a technician, you can homebrew really easy. You can homebrew a dipole really easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my big recommendation that I learned, because I did it the wrong way, was just buy a mobile radio at a certain point. Stop buying handy talkies. Like, get a couple of them, maybe. Maybe buy one, and then get yourself a mobile radio. Save up some money and do it that way. You're going to have a much better time.
So well, how much is that though?
This Yaesu is.
I mean, the mobile setup.
No, I know, but I'm going to walk you through. This Yaesu is $350.
Okay.
Right? And
I'm just going to tally all of this up in my head.
Yeah.
So that I can equate a new bag to it.
A new handbag. And the radio that's in your car, the TYT 9800, was $250.
Okay.
So that's
but including the antenna?
No. Nah. See,
you just pointed to this and you said it was 300 something and you included the antenna, which is very disingenuous.
It comes with the antenna. Mobile radios don't come with antennas. You have to supply the coax and you have to supply the antenna.
Right. So what is it? I mean, this Yaesu is antenna everything out the gate.
All right, out the door.
But you're not... The mobile radio still needs an antenna.
Yeah. So I think I spent probably another $50 on the antenna, another $40 on the mount to mount it to the car, and then like $20 in coax.
Okay, so you were at $250, mm-hmm. and then you added another $110, so you're at $360?
Yeah.
So $60 more.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, this is
$350. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So $10 more.
Right.
To have... A radio that you can't carry with you.
But it performs as a radio better. It does a better job as being a radio.
But
it,
what if you're somebody who switches cars a lot?
Buy more radios?
See this?
I mean, come on.
Also, what if your wife drives the car through a car wash and then the antenna gets lost in the car wash and she gets banned from that car wash because the antenna probably effed up the car behind
her?
Did
you get banned?
They won't let me go back to the car. I had to go to a different one.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. It's like you're living a completely separate life of breaking also, my things.
Also
and offending
with ham
people.
Radio.
Yeah. So that covers
ham radio is really driving us apart.
Or bring us together because you're out there ostracizing the neighborhood and becoming a pariah. And I'm the only one left for you to come back to.
That's interesting because I think it's the other way around. I am actually the one who is upstanding in the neighborhood.
Well, you keep breaking those car washes and we'll see how that goes.
It wasn't even in our city, okay?
Oh, so that you started going out of the city to break their car washes and you're like, this will never blow back. There's no blowback from this. Very good. All right, so that's the technician class, right? And then I stepped into general. I got my general license. At that point, I'm like, I want to get on HF. HF is kind of...
It's where it's at.
I think that HF radio is the best part of ham radio, personally. I love VHF, UHF. It's a lot of fun. But like HF radio is just leaps and bounds, so much cooler. It's like fishing. It's the fishing thing in me that you've mentioned before.
Just all the time.
But it's like... in the biggest ocean and you can throw your line just
it's really funny
all
you say
world.
That because you never really got into ocean fishing.
It's too expensive to do. I take that back.
Okay. And are HF expensive. Radios more expensive than handy talkie and mobile radios?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like the cost has never been a real deterrent.
You gotta understand what drives my mind. I'm not going to buy a boat. I don't have anywhere to put a boat. So I'm not going to go ocean fishing in my own boat.
When you own a boat, what are the two best days of your life?
When you buy the boat and when you sell the boat. Yes. We all know this dad joke. Thank you very much. You know, Bob says that about race cars. That's his race car line, too.
Who?
Bob, K6UDA.
Oh, really?
Because he used to drag race. Like, pretty serious drag race.
Really? Oh, like Beatty racing?
Yeah. But like his stuff I think was even faster. Bob's.
faster than Beatty Racing, you take that back. Yeah.
When I would go ocean fishing, I'd have to go like on a charter. I'd have to do all this logistics. It was kind of like on somebody else's terms, my enjoyment of the thing. Versus HF, I just wake up.
I mean, you could have gone out to a pier and gone fishing instead of going to the
lake.
But
again, logistics. I got to load up the car. I got to get there when the tide's in. You got to do the whole thing. You got to go at the right season because you know you want to go crab potting and blah, blah, blah. You know all that stuff, right? With radio, I just wake up. You're all here. The kids are doing their own thing. And I just go hide in the garage and I can play radio. It's great. And
it's
then
true.
I hear you yell. And then I'm
like
oh,
we
go see what the wife. Just imagine how pissed she'd be if I was at the pier.
Yeah. Be like a fishing widow. Like golf widows.
Right. Yeah. And you're like a ham radio widow, but not really because I'm in the house. I haven't gone anywhere.
Yes. As far as hobbies go, this is one that does keep you trapped at home.
See?
Unless you like get into sodas more
often.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I do. I'm itching to do that again just because it's like we've been trapped with COVID.
What if you turned your fishing rod while you were fishing with it into an antenna?
Mm-hmm. That's a thing that's actually, because water's a good ground plane.
Yeah.
So you just have like the rod going up and then a little piece of wire in the water. And that acts as, the other half of the dipole again.
Uh-huh.
The rod is the vertical. And then you have a trailing piece that connects to the shield of the coax. Yeah. And that's your
And then we could ground. Still get those crabs you were talking about.
Get them crabs. And then we just key up and fry the crabs.
Yeah.
Right in the water. They come up, they're boiled, they're ready to go. You just throw some lemon on there and that's it.
I'm really into ham radio now.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I just had to figure out some kind of, what's the guy, Chris, the guy who makes all the robots that like hurt people that we watch on YouTube? Anyway, I digress.
Reeves, Christopher Reeves.
Really? Christopher Reeves?
I think
Superman?
I think that's his name.
Is it? I don't remember. Great. HF radios, 100 watt output. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got yourself some kind of antenna.
And then you're cooking hot dogs.
Right. Remember before I had the hex beam on the roof, I had that dipole thing on the side of the house.
Yeah, I did not like that.
With the two wires that slope down.
Did not.
So that's a dipole, basically. It's more complicated than that, but that's it in essence. Two elements, the positive side of the coax and the negative side or the return side. And that's really all I needed to do some okay communication on ham radio. Again, there's more that goes into it, but now how did I do it? That's where I got to eventually. A 100 watt desktop radio called a base station. And I could work HF with that, with a big antenna. That's not what I did, though. I went down what's called QRP. QRP is low-powered HF radio.
Okay.
QRP is a 5-watt output radio, going back to the handy talkies.
Well, that doesn't seem very good.
Well, it's fun because the radios are the size of, like, you know, smaller than a bread box, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun in that sense. But it's really hard to make contacts with people because they just can't hear you, right? You can't sit on a frequency and just say CQ, CQ over and over again.
Because you need more power.
You need more power. Or if you're lucky, you could wait for two people to stop their conversation and you could like hop in there and go, hey, anybody monitoring? Have a call with me. Talk to me. However, flip that all around. If you go to the top of a mountain that's like 100 feet above sea level, all of a sudden that QRP radio does really good because it's high up.
Right.
So you get some help out of that. That's why they use it for soda also, because they're really easy to carry. So my recommendation to people is don't go QRP with your first HF radio. Get a 100 watt base station radio for HF.
But if you start at the 100 watts, do you think that most people will ever actually appreciate the QRP?
I feel like,
are you missing out on an entire experience?
No. I mean, you could always frustrate yourself and just lower the power output from 100 watts down to 5 watts. And just
but what
be
about,
like, hello, talk to me, please.
What about
I need a
quirky
contact.
QRP?
Well, he's making quirky. It's in the name. It's quirky. You don't expect it to be
I think there's something to
powerful.
Be said moving up the ranks, being the low man on the totem pole and working your way up.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
how does it not make sense?
It is a romantic idea.
Isn't the whole point of, like, not the whole point, but like one of the reasons people really get into ham radio is trying to hack the radio. So you start at this, like, trying to maximize at 5 watts, right? And if you skip all of that and you go to straight to 100 watts and you never have to earn that that strength of voice.
No, because, like, you can go down to HRO and buy a 100 watt beginner radio for like $400. Like,
I'm not talking about the cost. I'm saying,
but you don't all you're getting out of starting with a 5 watt radio living in the suburbs with all this noise around us is frustration, because no one's going to hear you. Very rarely will people hear you.
Do you think you would be as knowledgeable about so many ham radio things had you not gone through the frustration
I live my entire life by being frustrated by hobbies that I get into. Like, that drives me.
Sure.
But I don't think I'm...
But if you started at 100 watts, how many problems would you have avoided that you now would not have an answer for?
I would still have so many problems. Don't get me wrong. Getting to 100 watts didn't solve the problem. It wasn't on easy street at that point. It just led to more
You're really
problems.
Selling this hobby to
no,
me,
I know,
by
right?
the way.
I'm really
into this now.
Yeah. But the
do you want lots of frustrations, and no matter how much money you spend, you still have to tinker around to make things the way that you want?
By the way, let me mention this. You don't really tinker with the insides of the radio that much
anymore,
unless you're like building your own radio out of parts. Most of the time, there's not much you can do. There's some tweaks you can do to radios to make them sound better on transmit or pick up more stations on receive. But the best thing you can do is spend your time making a really good antenna. Regardless if it's QRP or 100 watts.
I'm just saying, if you go straight to 100 watts, you didn't go through the 5 watt period, did you really earn it?
Is that like the grunge period, the angsty teenager period?
No, it's like the grinding. It's like if you're talking like World of Warcraft, you are grinding in the barrens.
But you don't get it. Nobody's at the end. Some Elmer's at the end with a beard, you know, sage-like.
Maybe you just haven't gotten there yet.
Well, maybe that's it. And he's got a badge for you that says, like, you've completed QRP. Like,
the loot is actually the perfect antenna and radio for.
The loot is the friends we've made along the way, is what you're trying to say? Is that, like, the journey is the goal?
No, I was talking actually about a set of things that you do not have to ever fiddle with.
That's not going to happen in this hobby. You're going to have to fiddle with stuff. That's I would argue
there was a radio that was foretold.
The prophecy of the radio. I don't even know where to go with the prophecy of the radio. So no, Leia, no. Let me tell you, no. That's not what I recommend. That's a bad Leia. People are going to hear you and go, like, they're going to hear,
disagree.
Like, trumpets. They're going to hear, like, the horns of Gondor, like, telling him to go on a great journey, get a QRP radio, and go for it. It's like, no, Leia, no, don't listen to Leia.
What I'm
Jesus.
Saying right now is that, like, how much pride would you have making, like, an especially impressive contact on 5 watts versus you making it on 100 watts?
Absolutely. But you're talking about making one contact and hundreds over here. That's the difference. QRP is way more difficult to complete a contact with than it is on 100 watts.
Is it, or is it that you just weren't very good at it?
Okay. I'll break this down for you. When we have a contact with somebody over the air, you generally, the loudest kind of mark, we exchange information back and forth.
Sure.
And we say 5.9. 5.9 means... Five means five, one out of five. Five is perfectly audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
I clearly understand your words. I don't have to go like, what is he saying? I perfectly get it. A nine is the S9 reading on the radio's signal intensity. So the receive strength of the signal coming in, the station you're listening to, is a nine.
Okay.
An S unit. Every time you double the power output, you get a half an S unit in transmitted power out of your antenna.
Okay.
So if a QRP radio is 5 watts, say you're whatever, say you're listening to a QRP station and you hear them in an S3.
Okay.
Very low signal intensity.
Okay.
That might not even be enough to break the noise floor of all the RFI around us. All the technology creates this RFI, and it makes your signal floor of your radio. The intensity of the radio is just always at 3. It's always at 3.
You'll never get to a 9.
With QRP, no. Unless you have very crazy atmospheric conditions or you're local to the station, right? But again, going back to this, you're listening to a QRP station. They're transmitting at 5 watts. You're hearing them at an S3. They're barely breaking the noise floor. You just hear, I want to talk to you. I need to get a QSO. The 100-watt station.
I'm really rooting for this underdog, by the way. you really tapped into something.
So in double the 5 watts, 10 watts.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're at an S.5. 3.5 S units.
Okay.
Double the 10, now you're at 20. Now you're 4 S units.
Okay.
Now you're hearing the person a little bit louder, more cogently. Double that again, and you're at 80, which gets you another half an S unit. So now you're like 4.5. And then 80 to 100, you're a little sauce, maybe a bit towards 5. So you just went up 2 S units in receive ability on that person with them switching from 5 watts to 100 watts right off the bat. You can now have a CUSA with this person. You could actually talk to them versus with QRP, you could not.
Huh.
Now, it's really important to understand that we all mostly live around technology that's not ham radio. And most of that technology doesn't give a damn if they're putting out radio frequencies.
Right, like the treadmill.
The treadmill, yes, like the treadmill. All that stuff creates this hash, noise on the bands that you can't get around, right? You're going to receive poorly. Or less good, as if it were just like in the woods or on top of the mountain or whatever.
Okay.
If there was a QRP station that was transmitting saying CQ, CQ, I want to talk to anybody, anywhere, taking all calls, you probably won't even hear them because your noise floor is probably like a 4 or a 5 to begin with. You can't even break through.
I feel so bad for these little 5 waters.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Go to the park. Get away from the signals and all that stuff and have a really good antenna. I talked to New York on 5 watts in the park when I took Ben to the park, you know, like last year.
You just can't operate it at home.
You can, but you're just, it's more difficult. You're going to have a really good antenna. You're going to spend more time trying to call someone to reply to you than actually calling out and having someone hear you just in the blue.
So it's just a real soda radio.
There's different reasons why you would have a QRP radio. There's contests. There's just QRP contests. You know, there's all kinds of good reasons to have a QRP radio. But I'm saying if you're starting out, I wouldn't recommend that as the first radio. That's my point of view. Kind of get it now? Does that make sense?
How many times have you used a 5-watt radio since you started using a 100-watt radio?
Well, I use more than 100 watts now, but...
Well, whatever.
Like, whenever I travel with a radio,
mm-hmm.
when I am doing a soda activation, mm-hmm. if we go camping,
mm-hmm.
that's a 5-watt radio, because you can pack them up.
It sounds like 5-watt radios are a real good time radio.
Oh, yeah. Again, going back to what you said, I said it was a romantic... That's a romantic viewpoint.
It's an adventurer's radio.
Yeah. No question. Again, why are you saying this so hard? I'm trying to say getting into ham radio, my tips. And I got Leia, yeah, but go with the 5-watt. It's romantic and fun. Don't you want to be the hero in your radio story? That is not the goal.
Don't you want the loot at the end?
Yeah. What is, of you'll never get the girl with the 100-watt radio.
What are you compensating for?
Oh, my God. That was for Connor specifically.
I'm not picking on Connor. Isn't he a teenager?
No. Well, yeah. Yes, technically, yes. The romantic view of radio is something that, like, I got bitten with. That's why I went down that QRP road. And when I keep saying romantic, I should explain what I mean. There's nothing no one wants, like, better in radio than to just go to a park gingerly place a wire into a tree and then just start talking to everybody, hear all the signals and be able to hear everybody. The reality is it's much more difficult than that. Much more is, you will spend more time failing at that if you attempt that than you are successful, unless you go for something like Morse code. Morse code will give you better success if you use low-powered radios.
Because it's just dits and dahs?
It's just dits and dahs. There's no human voice nuances that you have to pick out. It was a dit or a dah, that's it. You learn it, and you know how to use it.
So what you're saying is that 5 watt is for the most skilled of operators, as they would be well-versed in Morse code as well, a language that you struggle with.
Thank you. Yes. No, not necessarily. But the romantic aspect of it is, like, everybody wants this, like, little bag. They open it up, and there's a little radio in it, and they have this little wire, and they just talk to the world. Those times are rare. And it's generally based off of, you know, the solar cycle and things that are not in our control. And I'm sure you can make contacts with a QRP radio, but they're going to be, like, closer in contacts. It's going to be harder to make those contacts. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not that I'm against it. Again, I just don't think it's a first HF radio. It should be like a second HF radio.
I see.
So, yeah, that's kind of...
But I guess what I'm getting at is, once you buy the 100 watt, would you want your second radio to be a 5 watt?
Yeah. If you, because you want to go travel somewhere.
Hmm.
The 100 watt radios are like, you know, they're big boys, right? They sit on a table. They're not going to, you can take them portable, but they go in like an Apache box or a Otter box or, you know, Pelican box or whatever, waterproof box. You can't backpack that. There's like one or two 100 watt radios that you can actually like put in a backpack. And I would argue that they're not that fun to operate in a home shack environment. And for all you people that are screaming at the podcast right now, I know you like your 891s. I have one in my car. I used to do portable ops with it, but it's not the best base station radio. The 7300 that's in the garage is a far superior radio, right?
Sure. Watts. I mean, you love it so much.
You love it so much.
Why did you marry it?
Don't worry, 7300. You're getting a new antenna soon. Well, those are just a couple of my points. There's more, but I think we can leave it at that.
Okay.
Well,
so buy that 5-watt radio. It's a great starting point, it sounds like.
No, it's not. Don't do that. I think you've completely undermined the entire purpose of this episode. I think all value has been lost. What's the thing from Happy Gilmore? Or no, Billy Madison. We are all now dumber having listened to this. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Do you remember that? She does not remember that.
I don't remember movies for anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I love the Harry Potter movies, and when I watched it again with the kids, I was like, what's happening?
Wow, this is amazing. Is this the extended cut? This must be the director's edition.
I've even read all of the books at least once.
Yeah, and you don't remember. You don't remember things out of the book.
I know.
It's because you read too fast.
No, I like really enjoy it, and then I just forget about it. It's a, you know, it's not a weakness. It's really a strength, because I get to experience things like it's the first time.
I will say, after we finished the series, I immediately wanted to start all over. Did you feel that?
I would watch them again.
Actually, I take that back. The first series that I was like that with was Star Wars. I have watched the Star Wars trilogy. It's dead. Well, the original is fine. I'm still into the original. I just don't like the new stuff. I just can't think about the new stuff. I just have to focus on the original. The original trilogy.
Even The Mandalorian was good.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's good, but it's like... I don't know. It's a little weird. I don't know how I feel about that yet completely. I got to finish it.
What about the other movies that wasn't...
Rogue One?
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I may be the only one, but I liked it. I don't know why. If I liked Rogue One, you'd think I'd like The Mandalorian, but I don't know. It didn't strike a chord with me. I don't know what it was. It was not gritty enough. There was too much cheese in The Mandalorian, I felt, but...
Is there still more of the original series coming out?
there's like our future until we're dead is like planned out.
Well,
Star Wars
I mean,
movies.
No, because okay, so the core is episode 4, 5, and 6,
right?
And then 1, 2, 3 was just, and then mm-hmm. they did 7 and 8. Is there a 9? Did they do 9?
Yeah, it's done.
So, oh, so it's totally, I don't remember.
I don't think we watched the last one.
Really?
Remember the 8 movie was the one where they had space bombers that they, with the Asian woman. Remember the Asian actress?
I'm thinking about Avengers.
And she crashes her like speeder into Finn's speeder. And she gets out of it and said, "Love will save us," and kisses him, even though she almost killed the guy by crashing her speeder into it on purpose.
No.
And then they're in space and they fly bombers into the Star Destroyers and they drop the bombs and the bombs fall like out of the bomb bay.
Oh man, I don't think I watched this at all.
They fall out of the bomb bay onto the Star Destroyer as though there was gravity in space.
I remember that. Did not see this.
Remember that?
No.
Or then the purple haired lady turns her spaceship around and jumps to light speed into the Empire,
no,
the New Order, whatever.
I don't know what's happening.
And it just blows up all their ships.
Are you plot spoiling
and
this?
And then everybody says, why didn't we just do this from the beginning?
I don't.
Why didn't we just jump to hyperspace directly into the Death Star? Why
it
not?
It seems like a nice
completely
shortcut.
Completely ruin all the continuity and break it. I don't know why we're going down this rabbit hole. I think we're going to wrap the episode up. I'm getting a little heated.
I want to know if people ever shoot Grand Marnier. Like, do people
oh,
just
no.
take shots
it's
of
a
Grand
liqueur.
Marnier?
It's sweet. It's super sweet. You won't like it. It's a liqueur.
Oh.
I don't know. It may even be a cordial. No, it's a liqueur. Cognac.
This is the last of our margaritas.
Liqueur. So that is the podcast. Oh, we didn't cheers here.
Oh, cheers. This is the last of our margarita mix, right?
Is the podcast over now? Is that what that meant?
I was going to ask for suggestions on our next drink.
I thought you said you already picked.
It's got to include Grand Marnier, though, because we have 2/3 of a bottle left.
You know,
and
it's
that's
like,
what, and
it's
that's like on Cadillac margaritas.
It's like doing shots of triple sec, right?
I did have a roommate who did that.
Yeah,
that
was gross. Well, thanks for sticking with us all the way through the end. Just want to remind you again, we're on Patreon at patreon.com.
Oh, I thought you were going to remind them to buy a 100-watt radio.
Just want to remind you. Let me wrap
that
this
the
up.
The point was...
Buy one HT, one mobile radio, and then an HF radio. Please. Don't listen to Leia. And it needs to be 100-watt HF radio. Anyway,
or,
and hear me out.
This is an idea. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
The stories they will write of you in the QST articles produced by the ARRL.
You will be a QRP hero.
That's a shirt you should make. Like He-Man, but he's holding a QRP radio, a 5-watt radio, QRP hero at the bottom.
I was thinking about doing the Run DMC shirt and be like, Run QRP.
That's not bad. Well, we already got the single sideband one. That I already have that shirt. Somebody already makes that. Anyway, check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/ Hosh Nasi. Hotel Oscar Sierra. Hotel Nevada Alpha Sierra India. And hopefully all this merch stuff gets sorted out. If we sort out all this red
There's
tape
only
we're dealing
one
with.
Little thing.
One little thing.
That I'm waiting on
which
the
is a big thing,
payment
but it's
processor
a thing.
To fix.
And then hopefully the link will be in the show notes. If not, of course, it will be on my YouTube once it goes live. And I'll start sending that out, making that available. So again, Leia, thank you so much for coming out.
To
the
kitchen
long
table.
Drive you made to get here. And it really means a lot in the time of COVID that you went all this way and joining me here in the studio.
On the table.
Right. We've got the noise generator in the background, which is our dishwasher that I started. It's in pots and pans mode. I found that's the best ambient noise for these podcasts.
Thanks for doing the dishes, too.
Yeah, 2 days in a row.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, thank you so much. Hopefully this was enjoyable. Again, comments. Throw those comments in. I try and read them on the podcast. Leia loves it when I read her comments. So.
I did pop in the last live stream.
How was that?
And people said that they liked it.
Oh, you You were taking live polls in the live stream on YouTube?
No, there were like Jeeper Creeper said that he really liked it. There were a bunch of people. And then the live stream ended, so I didn't get to respond. So to everybody that I didn't respond to, I saw your comments on the podcast. Thank you very much.
To everybody that commented, you're all jerks. Bye.
And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to respond because the live stream ended.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Ladies, you got to get back to work, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I have a lot to do.
Well, again, thanks for joining me out here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to commute back to my office.
Commute back to work, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. I think I said thanks for watching the last time I did the podcast. I'm so used to saying that. And we'll leave it at that. 73s.